Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You are on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we are glad that you joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we have got an outstanding show coming up for you. But first, I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, the New Age Seafood Shed at the top of the hill at Spanish Fort, which is the official sponsor of my tirades, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, thank you to all our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SPN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook or follow me on X, unless, Australia decides they want to shut X down entirely because they're all about free speech. Anyway, it's at Cal_SBN. And, of course, you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics du jour. Coming up later on SBN, Tom's tirade is going to be on Do You Have a Flag? It's a good one, lots of fun, and we're going to tie it in with what's going on in the world today. But first, it's always an honor to be joined by a couple of veterans from the Vets Recover Program. We got the founder and CEO, Mr. John Kilpatrick. And he's brought along with him Major Mike Raley, U.S. Army, the Chief Clinical Officer with Vets Recover. Gentlemen, welcome to SVN, and thank you for your service and your ongoing service to our veterans.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's a real pleasure to have both of you gentlemen on here today, John. And you just had a major grand opening of the new clinical facility that you have established over on Spring Hill. So give us a little bit of insight about that. And I was there, and man, that was jam up.
It really was. It was, it was a lot like a wedding. You know, a long time to prepare for it. And, yep. And then the big day comes. And, for me, I'm always on to the next thing. So it was a great ceremony, but I'm ready to start seeing patients and getting these veterans in here and getting them well.
That being said, how long before you will actually be open?
So I'm going to let Dr. Raley talk about that some, but we're on track to start seeing our first patients in the residential facility on May the 6th.
May the 6th. All right. Okay. Well, let's get a little bit of insight from Major Michael Raley over here as to his background and in what capacity he'll be fulfilling as the new clinical officer at the Vets Recovery Center.
Okay. As you read there, I'm a licensed psychologist. I'm licensed in four states, one of which is Florida. And soon to be Alabama. My primary work is as a forensic psychologist, so that's along the lines of where the principles of psychology intersect with the legal system. Also, one of the things I've always loved doing is working with veterans in whatever whatever capacity I'm in, there's always an opportunity to work with veterans. And so that's one of the things I always enjoy doing.
Well, your background and being a veteran, how many years of service do you actually have?
17.
17 years. All right. John, you got him beat. You got both of us beat. By 112, isn't it?
it seems that way sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you got just about that many in the Marine Corps before you went in the Army.
I told one soldier recently, I said, I think I got boxer shorts that are older than you.
I can imagine. Yeah. But you know what? I was talking to somebody earlier tonight. And we had helped a Marine veteran that was in dire need, and I was working with the American Legion Riders, and he said, man, I appreciate your help. I said, hey, we're vets. We take care of each other. And I said, that's what we have to do, because it doesn't seem that we get 100% coverage from all of the other sources that gazillions of millions of dollars is being spent on. It doesn't seem to funnel down to the sources where we actually need them right here on the street.
Yeah, I tell you, it's you know, that's what's really special about Vets Recover is you know, we've got the clinical expertise, and you know, not every doctor, not every provider there is a veteran. A lot of us are, most of us are, but those who are not, you know, they're just as capable of providing care because they've got the desire, they've got the mission, and most importantly, they understand the cultural competency.
Right.
You know, we're not like other people.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
We think we're special, but we really are, especially those of us who've experienced combat.
Sure.
You know, it changes us, and it's very difficult to relate to somebody who's had that such a unique experience if you haven't had it, or if you at least haven't studied it.
Right.
And what it does to people. And so that's really what we do better than anyone else is we bring that cultural competency. And we interject that veteran peer support into the clinical program. And, you know, I said it at the open house or at the grand opening
right.
the other day. You know, nobody gets well in a clinic. You know, we get well in a community. And so when we have folks like you and organizations like the Patriot Guard Riders and the American Legion Riders and all these other veteran service groups, you know, they treat far more veterans than we do. And there's no clinical intervention at all.
Right.
It's just one
right.
veteran to another. And so Vets Recover is really there for that 10% or so of folks who need the highest level of clinical mm-hmm. intervention. So these are folks that are not going to get well, you know, talking to their pastor, just talking to another family member or somebody on the street or even another veteran. They need a clinical intervention.
Yes.
And that's what we're there for. And I'd love for Dr. Raley to kind of talk about how our clinical program is set up to really address those you know, key needs for folks that are really, really struggling.
All right, well, let's let him have the floor. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, one of the critical things about of Vets Recover's clinical program is the infusion of peer support specialists. I mean,
right.
I think that's where it starts.
That's a big thing.
You're not going to get anywhere if you don't have someone who can be right there with them step by step and saying that I've been there before.
Right.
You know, and I kind of learned this concept years ago when I was working in the prison system. Most of the people who were in prison, and then we're talking about males here, they didn't have a dad, they were on welfare, they saw this bad stuff when they were a kid. And line for line, everything that they would say, I would say, well, so did I.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, so did I.
So did I.
And if I can do it,
right.
you can do it.
Right.
And that's the one thing that the peer support specialists do. And as I see it, I think they are the most important piece to how veterans recover in this system. So it starts there. Because there are just some significant things that occur in a veteran's life. I mean, things happen. They can't get to the appointment.
Sure.
Whatever. There are always these things. And so these are all barriers to care. And so the one thing that we try to do at Vets Recover is remove all these barriers.
Right.
And that's the one thing that they're not going to get anywhere else. And that's just the reality of the situation. So, again, it starts there. And then we do have to have treatment providers who understand. You don't have to be a veteran, but you do have to understand that mindset. You got to have a respect
right.
for veterans. And, you know, this is not, if anybody's listening who's representing the VA, this is not a swipe at the VA. It really
right.
isn't. But I worked in the VA, and one of the things that I saw that I had a problem with was that there was no cultural competence. I mean, I don't think they understand the psyche of service members.
Right.
Whereas that's the, I mean, that's what drives the train here.
Sure, it is.
You have to have that understanding.
You have to.
And so that's where it starts.
You know, and we're going to have to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll let you elaborate on that a little bit more. But as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the other side. And we'll be back with John Kilpatrick and Dr. Rayleigh here from Vets Recovery Service.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Hey, and if you like to listen on demand, you can also catch us on the FM Talk 106.5 app for your smartphone. It's where the podcasts are loaded, normally by the next day. And Tom's tirade is up on castbox.fm in case your blood pressure flatlines and you need to get it back up. But hey, again, we are speaking with veteran John Kilpatrick, the founder and CEO of Vets Recover, and veteran Mike Rayleigh, who is the chief clinical officer at Vets Recover as well. Gentlemen, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks. And thank you.
And Dr. Rayleigh, let's continue with your insight on where we are going with the Vets Recovery facility.
Okay. Well, let me. I would be remiss if I didn't back up and sort of mention what we do in our inpatient program, because that sort of feeds our
sure.
outpatient program.
Sure.
So one of the things in our society is that we have what I call assembly line treatment. You know, we stack them up in these rooms and we give them all these classes and stuff, and then we open the doors and let them out and we bring in another group.
All right.
But that's not how we do it.
You know, that's like getting the gas mask treatment, you know, in boot camp.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. and it's about as fun as that.
Yeah, it is. It makes about as much sense sometimes.
Yeah. So, you know, what we try to do is stay with these service members from their inpatient treatment. You know, once you stop, it's kind of like a three-legged stool. I mean, if you're going to take away the drugs, if you expect them to get rid of that, they need another third leg.
Right. They got to replace that leg.
And that third leg is the community of treatment at Vets Recover. And what that looks like is getting a peer support specialist that's going to be with you, that's going to walk this walk with you, not just when you're on the ground at Vets Recover, but when you're in the community, because that's where the recovery takes place. You know, I've heard John say this plenty of times. I mean, you don't get well in a facility. You get well in the community. So it
right.
takes a community to make you better. And that's what we try to provide. And it's not just us. I mean, we're going to link them with other entities in the community once they're done with their inpatient treatment. But this outpatient treatment is also important, because now you got to learn some things. I mean, one of the things that we all have to come to when we've had a life of problems, our best thinking has gotten us where we are.
Right.
And when you get to a point where you realize that thinking is not going to get you where you want to be, so you kind of have to just, you know, collect that trash and put it in the compactor.
Yep, get rid of the stinking thinking.
Get rid of the stinking thinking.
Right.
And so we're going to give them some new stuff that smells a lot better, sort of like lavender or something
right,
like that.
Right, right. Well, yeah. I mean, you're as John said, though, you're not there to cure anybody. You're there to help put them on the path to being cured.
Yes.
With their surrounding area. And exactly. I think Mobile will step up to that.
I think so too. I've seen nothing but support since I've gotten here. You know, the one thing about all this is that, you know, we have to know. Now, we play a role in this as providers, but we have to understand we don't need to take too much of the responsibility, and that's when providers get burned out. We need to show them their responsibility as they walk through this process.
Right.
And it's going to be a process. It's not going to happen overnight.
No. Yeah. It's not a 10-day cure.
It is not. It's not a 28-day cure.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it'll be months, maybe even years.
It's going to be a lifetime.
Right, yeah.
I can attest to, you know, my own recovery. That's kind of how we got here is you know, I went through something similar. And, you know, I'm 28 years into my recovery, my personal recovery, and I'm not cured.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
We never get cured.
No. And so, but the beauty of recovery and the way we do it and the recovery that we kind of, you know, give away at Vets Recover, it's all about service. And what we know, those of us who have served, is the gift is in the giving.
Right.
And that's the way recovery works, too. So I've been sober for 28 years.
Right.
But every day I got to work on my recovery. And the way I work on my recovery is helping the next fellow.
Oh, we're still addicted. We're still addicted.
That's right.
I had to quit drinking 45 years, you know. Because either that or I was going to lose my family,
you know.
And I was given a choice, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to quit, and that's why I'm probably why I'm still here, you know.
no doubt about that. Yeah. I told somebody a long time ago that you know, if I knew I was going to live this long and life would be this good, I'd have taken a lot better care of myself.
but you know, excuse me. Once we get there, like I am now, you know, I mean, I got a big birthday tomorrow, but. Once we get here,
29.
Yeah, about four times.
129.
Yeah, I'll be 86 tomorrow.
That's
but
awesome.
You know, I don't know how to take care of myself or how to treat myself because I ain't never been here before. You know what? This is all new to me. Yeah,
that's right.
But I'm blessed, and those of us that have gone through and dried out, well, we are blessed. You know, but it's still, man, it's rough every day.
Yeah, I tell you, it takes a community, and you know, when, like Dr. Rayleigh said, when you take away the drugs and alcohol or depression or really whatever ails you, you know, when you take that away, we had a veteran we served several years ago, and this was the most beautiful question I've ever been asked. You know, this guy, you know, did the hard work, got through some real deep work about his trauma, and. You know, a lot of folks that come to us, they usually have one of three ailments. They can't eat, they can't sleep, or they can't move. And sleep is the number one thing. And this guy had not slept in years. And he came in one day and said, you know, Doc, now I'm sleeping. The nightmares have stopped.
Amen. That's
now,
a blessing.
Now what do I dream about?
Yes. Uh-oh.
Now you're onto something.
Yeah.
Now you're onto something.
Yeah, you've made a big step, though.
That's right. And so feeling that dream and feeling that life and with meaning and purpose and team and you know, all of those things that we loved about being in the military, you know, that's what we create in our community. And so when we get well, we do huge things. You know, we host radio shows that bring veteran issues to hundreds of thousands of people every year. We build treatment centers in the middle of town in a blighted building.
Yeah, and everybody's saying, you, Cam, you ain't no damn way you can do that, John.
You know, but we also, you know, become clinical psychologists in the Army.
Right.
You know, we lead our government. You know, we serve in our churches. We're scout leaders. We're teachers. We're coaches.
We are the vets out front leading the way.
I love to tell the politicians, we are the best economic development program in the country because we take people who are unemployed, unemployable, and a total drain on our economy.
Right.
And we turn them into the most sought after employees in the country.
Yes, we do.
You know? You go to Airbus, Austal, any of these companies, you tell them you got a service member, a veteran looking for a job.
Send him. send him. We want him. Spot. We
That's
want
right.
him. Yeah.
That's
he
right.
knows how to, most of the time, he knows how to get up in the morning and go to work. You know?
Yeah, he knows how to be on time.
Right.
He
knows how to be on time. You know?
Deal these days. Right?
Yeah. I'm sure you have some other things that you want to bring forth there, Doc. Go ahead with it.
Well, again, it takes a community. We know that. We know we can't do it all by ourselves. But we do want to make sure that all of our providers are culturally competent, because that is a big part of it. And again, that's the one thing that I realized during my short stint with the VA that they didn't have. And another thing that I'd like to see happen is just one of my personal projects. As a psychologist, I've actually completed comp and pen evaluations for all things mental health, you know, for military sexual trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, depression. And what I've been able to observe is that it's just not, the records just aren't there. So I want to make sure that veterans who have a legitimate reason to have a service connection, they earn that and they need to get
right,
it.
Right, right. Yes. Yeah, we've had, working with the Marine Corps League, Darren Johns, familiar with us. His chief of staff is one of my officers in our Marine Corps League. And his vice president is one of my members and associate members in the Marine Corps League. But, you know, we just have to step out there and move forward with these guys and all. Are we on a bump? All right. Well, there's a lot of other areas that we want to talk to you about when we come back. These gentlemen are just full of information. The main thing we want to get out to you, vets and vet families, you have a place to go now. Don't beat your head against the wall. We're going to get some information about vets recovery and how you can become part of their treatment over there.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
I've been a soldier since I was 19, and I still haven't learned how to wait for it. I wanted a mission. For my sins, they gave me one.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. The new Ed Seafood Shed on top of the hill at Spanish Fort. Viva Medicare of Alabama and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And again, we are privileged to be speaking with veterans John Kilpatrick and Mike Raley from Vets Recover. Gentlemen, again, thank you for your service and thank you for all you're doing for our veterans. And Tom, I just want to throw in a question.
Sure,
that
go
I
ahead.
Had. I know we've talked a lot about what all that they offer there at Vets Recover, but I want to make sure at some point that we get the information out about how folks are eligible for this. And how do they get into the program?
Right, that was going to be my question to John. You're sitting there reading our mind. Yeah,
great.
Because that was going to be my question to John is, you know, how do we get it as vets and our families? How do we get involved? Because some of the lengths of times and periods it takes for us to get our treatment through the VA, even though we are disabled veterans, you know, it might be 6 months, 8 months, or a year. How does that work with you guys, and how can we get involved with the Vets Recover, John?
So it's important to know that Vets Recover is a private 501c3 nonprofit organization. So we, you know, I'm accountable to a board of directors, and our board is made up of primarily, I think all of our board members are veterans right now. but by design, majority veterans. And so we have, you know, we don't have to go by the law to define what a veteran is. And so our definition of a veteran is anybody who served one day in the military.
Okay.
You know, likewise with family members, we're very generous with that as well. So our idea of a family is if you consider folks family, you know, if they're in your system, you know, if they're caring for you, they live with you, they take care of you, or they're concerned about you,
right,
we'll care for them as well. And a few years back, we expanded our program to care for first responders too. So many of our firefighters and law enforcement folks are veterans. 30 to 40% of them are also veterans, and they experience very similar. You know, that the mindset is very similar,
right,
the culture is the
right.
same, and they experience trauma at a very high rate, similar to combat veterans. It's very easy to get enrolled in care at Vets Recover, and you can do it at just about any level. The easiest, best way to get enrolled is to call. 24 hours a day, a veteran answers the phone and say, I'd like to make an appointment. So that number is 251-405-3677. You know, they'll get some information, set you up for an appointment. You just come in and sign up just like any other physician.
Well, now, you know, I've got insurance. But, you know, and a lot of us that have insurance, and can we utilize our insurance there?
Absolutely.
You know, rather than having to go, well, we're even having trouble at the dock in the boxes.
That's right.
You know?
So, you know, there's a lot of benefits out there for veterans. So if you're not familiar with the Mission Act, I highly encourage you to get familiar with it. There's a one-page fact sheet on the VA's website. But veterans who are enrolled in VA healthcare are entitled by law to an appointment for primary care or behavioral health within 20 days.
20 days. Right.
And within 30 minutes of their home.
Right.
And so if you're not able to get that from the VA healthcare system, you're entitled to a referral to a community care network provider. Vets Recover is a community care network provider. So you just ask the VA for a referral to Vets Recover, and that's it. Now, if you're having an emergency, either a physical emergency or a mental health emergency, you don't even have to make an appointment. You can just come. We can see you, and we'll get paid by the VA for an urgent care type visit. Now, if you have insurance, just like any other provider. So we are a nonprofit organization, and we get, you know, we stay in business providing services
sure.
for fees.
Sure.
And so you're the ideal veteran, Tom, because you come with a lot of health care needs, and you have a way
right,
to pay.
Right.
Most of our clients don't have a way to pay.
Well, that's true, you know. But
so,
you still treat those.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
but
and
the
we,
ones of us that have that, I mean, there's a lot of things that I can't go to. My wife can't go to the VA. You know, my kids can't go to the VA. You know,
so
but they could come to you, and then I could still come to you if I've got somebody's problems that the VA is not treating me
that's
for.
That's right. That is probably the best way to support Vets Recover is if you are a veteran, first responder, family member, and you have insurance,
right.
bring your primary care to Vets Recover.
I'm paying for it. Why not? Yeah, I'm going to use it.
We will be your primary care provider and so much more because you get that whole integrated healthcare system.
Sure. Yeah. Will there be any, excuse me, will there be any access to any pharmaceuticals there? It's like, how's that going to work?
So I'll let Dr. Raley talk a little bit about that, but in our detox facility, we actually will have an on-site pharmacy. We can certainly prescribe. You know, our doctors are just like any other
right.
doctors, so they'll you know they can manage your medications.
Let me answer one part of that. If I call the VA and ask them to for something that I need, and they can't take care of me, then I get a referral to the Vets Recovery Service. Then they are responsible for my prescriptions because they sent me over there.
That's correct.
Right. Okay.
That's correct.
Yeah, I run into that yesterday.
Yeah, so as a community care network provider, our providers can write you a prescription,
right.
and you can get that prescription filled at the VA pharmacy.
Yeah. I had my sinus doctor, my pulmonary doctor, I was in such bad shape that I couldn't get anything done at the VA and all with it. So I went to my pulmonary doctor, and he prescribed Trelegy. Well, Trelegy's got 3 medicines in it. So I got a prescription for that to turn it into the VA. Well, they wouldn't pay for it. They didn't send me over there.
That's the key.
You know, so here's an $800 a month medicine that's been prescribed to me that now I had to cough up, you know?
That's right. And our providers can do that coordination with, you know, the VA has a great community care network group, and they can help manage all
sure,
of that.
Sure.
You know, if we had to refer you out to somebody else, you know, they can, the community care network team in Biloxi can help coordinate all of
sure
that
they
with
can,
our folks.
You know. But that's the neat part about it, though, is so many things that we're not going to be able to get taken care of at the VA. I don't have a problem with the VA. They do a lot of good stuff. You know, they're good with the hearing aids. They're good with the glasses and stuff like that, you know. And they take the blood test and they give you the lab test and all that. But there's so many other things that I need that I still have my insurance, you know, and I've got Medicare. So
there's world-class quality care at the VA.
But they're overloaded, y'all.
They're overwhelmed, and so it's the access part. It's not the care itself, it's access. So it's getting an appointment and getting an appointment for what you need when you need it. And the law is there to protect us if the VA can't provide that. You know, no government agency is designed to be the 100% solution.
No. Okay.
And we're a partner of theirs, and we're here to supplement them, not to replace them. We're not the 100% solution.
No.
You know, we're going to help you get through whatever you're getting through. But ultimately, you know, we enroll every veteran that shows up at Vets Recover, we get them enrolled in VA healthcare because they're the long-term solution.
Right.
We're kind of the short-term.
Yeah. But then, you know, one of the things that you guys are doing, the way I see it, is you're helping correct the VA candy that we see so much of is when the guys have got their problems coming out of service. And they give them, it's been a brown bag of the VA candy, as they call it, and tell them, have a good time on your civilian life, you know? And then, so here they go. They go off, and next thing you know, they're addicted to all these VA candy, or drugs, opioids, and all that they're going to give them. And then you guys can help straighten that out, pull them out of that.
Well, you know, a lot of health care in our country is not really health care, it's sick care. You know,
right.
We want to manage your disease. We take a different approach. We really do want you to get better. So we do it a lot like we do in military medicine. Our goal with our care is to get you back in the fight.
Right.
Participating at a very high level. And so, you know, even if you come to us with a long-term condition that you've been managing, we're going to try to figure out how to find you a better way.
Yes.
You know, we don't want people surviving.
Right.
We want people thriving.
Thriving, right. That's neat.
That's right.
And we're going to get our tirade here in a few minutes, and we'll still have a few minutes when we come back, and we'll close out with some information from these gentlemen and what they have to offer at Vets Recovery Service over there. But for more information, you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And on the other side of the break, my tirade on Do You Have a Flag?
The recent death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota has sparked debates in this nation on numerous topics in ways that few other tragedies could. Of course, the gun-controlled Nazis in the Communist Democratic Party had to blame the event not on a bad cop with a history of conflict with the deceased, but on the phantom menace of systemic racism within local police forces. And of course, systemic racism within the nation, dating back to Al Sharpton's felonious representation of Tawana Prawley. Of course, Sharpton is from that long line of the progressive left whose hearts lay less with the victims of tragedy and more with the heart of pushing an agenda. And, of course, in the immortal words of Rahm Emanuel, never letting a good crisis go to waste. So in the wake of words of the community organizer-in-chief, many have begun calling for what Michelle Antoinette did in the early days of the campaign, a fundamental transformation of this country. Guns are no good, of course. Cops are quite possibly even worse. And they both should be removed from the hands and communities of law-abiding citizens of the country because, respectively, They are just too damn stupid to know how to use them, and they are too damn stupid to know their place, except that they both provide a constitutionally guaranteed right of self-defense for the millions who lawfully use their firearms to protect themselves, and of course, the police utilize the same. That they both also guarantee a citizen prepared to defend itself against an overreaching government, and more likely the reason that anarchists and progressives choose to demonize guns, cops, and those who support the Second Amendment. Probably one of the most glaring ironies of the Floyd protest slash riots slash anarchy slash violence slash shooting slash unlawful occupations slash destruction of personal property slash destruction of personal dreams slash hedonism on display slash attempt to overthrow our national institutions slash the malicious rewriting of our nation's history is that his death has largely been forgotten since the race-baiting Al Sharpton spoke at his first of many memorials weeks ago. A fact that seems to be lost on progressives, Marxists, communists, and their pawns, including their accomplices in the Democratic Communist Party and their state-run media. All advocates of eliminating the Second Amendment and overturning the Constitution. And while our laws, based on the Constitution, may guarantee that these groups have a right to protest in peace, the shootings, lootings, violence, and theft memorialized in the aftermath only highlight that it is not law-abiding citizens who commit these heinous acts, but criminals who disregard the laws to commit their crimes, a fact not lost on silent majority of this nation who mourn the loss of Floyd, but who also decry the daily losses due to gun violence, gang violence, and drug addiction due to the inaction of the Marxist progressives at every level, local, state, or federal, in the House of Representatives where Nancy Botoxy rules the roost. Considering that she has not advanced any legislation on race relations in the aftermath, I would imagine that she realizes that even in the wake of such a tragedy, she would be on shaky ground to push such legislation in an ostensibly Republican-controlled Congress. Who says she is not pragmatic? The news of the Floyd's death impacts us all. It was another example of abhorrent violence in a world that has seen far too much of it. Like so many of our prior tragedies, when it comes to this statistically minuscule instance of white cop on black suspect death, the nation's attention turned, albeit briefly, to discussions of compliance to law enforcement. And then, as time went on, those things left the headlines and life continued. Except, in this case, even though the issues of respect for law enforcement and access to guns still exist, we have a new scapegoat. A flag, and oh my gosh, big bronze statues. They are a convenient target, of course, and they make it much easier to take a stand against a piece of history than it is to try and address the larger, tougher issues related to black-on-black violence and the growing race-baiting industry we have in our country. It's easier for the politicians and the pundits and the public to rail against the flag and the history of our country, but it doesn't move us one step closer to preventing a more race-baiting violent riots from happening again. What it does do is widen the chasm that exists between blacks and whites in this nation. Just as the fantasy of white privilege did not descend to place its knee upon the neck of Floyd, the Confederate flag wasn't even an observer to the act. One can only wonder if the outrage would be the same if the killer had posted pics on social media holding a hammer and a sickle, the flag of ISIS, or a pride banner. I somehow doubt it. And in the end, removing the Confederate flag and similar memorials from our national concert will do little to stop. And they are mentally deranged from committing acts of violence against others. Today, in our current climate, it serves as a political rally cry for the Marxist, Communist, Progressive Democratic Party and those of its ilk while deepening the racial divide in this nation. And, just maybe, stoking the fires of hatred in the next deranged killer. A sad but true commentary. Some have commented that it is time for the Confederate flag and statues to go. Become a museum relic. Major retailers are refusing to carry Confederate merchandise, and no surprise, corporations are running from anything to do with Dixie. Most are saying that the move has little to do with the riots, but rather that the flag is simply too controversial and offensive to a small minority. Better let it go than to stand up for the individual's freedom of expression. Hell, from what I'm hearing, they want to erase the Duke from history. I mean, what the Bring it on! I only hope that those who are capitulating today on the Stars and Bars will remember that many in that same minority are joined by a growing group who have the same feeling about the Stars and Stripes. And mark my words, that one day, and it may not be in the distant future, there will be a cry to remove our national flag from the public square, because it is a rallying cry for those who love what this nation and what it once stood for before the transformation. Just something to think about. The Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
And we built up empires. We stole countries. That's what you do. That's how you build an empire. We stole countries with the cunning use of flags. Yeah. You just sail around the world and stick a flag in. I claim India for Britain. And they go, you can't claim us, we live here. 500 million of us. Do you have a flag? We don't need a bloody flag. It's our country, you bastard. No flag, no country. You can't have one.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans.
Have a flag.
We're broadcasting live on 106.5 FM and streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You were on board Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of Marines, with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it in. A good job there, Tom.
Well, right. You know, I think we need to get our flag, and we'll just put all branches of service emblems on it. And put right in the middle of it, put vet, you know, and that's the only flag we need.
Amen.
Amen. All right, John's here with us, and he and Dr. Rayleigh. And John, we've got about 3 minutes to close. I know there's a couple of areas that we need to talk about.
Yeah, I think the key takeaway is if you're a veteran, first responder, family member, and you're struggling, call us. We're
that's
here
neat.
24
right.
hours a day. And a veteran will always answer the phone and get you where you need to be.
All right. But then, you know, and, if you're struggling and you're hurting and you can't pay all your bill, talk to them. They try to work something out. But if at the same time, if you're like I am and most all the people are, we either have Medicaid, Medicare, or some branch of service, Humana, Viva, or what have you, or, you know, Blue Cross, hey, they'll take it over there, and you'll be in and out, and you won't have to wait all this period of time to try to get to see the doctor. But then they're going to have some services there, medical services and things that are available for vets that you're not going to find anywhere else. And you are being treated with vets or either people that are working for vets. So it's a vet-orientated facility, and they're there for the vets, and they respect the vets. And we don't get that in a lot of places.
That's right. The other thing about this great facility we've built, you know, we now have 3 buildings there, almost 7 acres of land. And, you know, we didn't talk a whole lot tonight about our community integration program. But, you know, we've probably served about 3,000 veterans, first responders, and their families in our outpatient clinic. And, you know, we'll serve, you know, somewhere around 1,000 a year there. But, you know, last year in our community integration program, we reached almost 10,000, I think over 10,000 people.
Ooh, that's strong.
Yeah. And so, you know, like I was saying, about 80% of people are going to solve their own problem in the community. They don't need a clinical intervention. And so our community integration program, I mean, we do scuba programs. We've got art, you know, music. We've got, if you want to get involved in the community in Mobile, Alabama, and you're a veteran, come to Veterans.
If you're bored, you don't have nothing to do. Y'all got a place for them?
You absolutely.
Now,
you know, I used to tell people, if you're struggling, come to Vets Recovery. We can help.
Right.
If you're thriving,
right,
come to Vets Recovery. We need you.
We need you. There you go. Yes. What? All right. What about, we've got 1 minute. How about mentors? Do we need some people to help?
Yeah. So we're still building out our team. We've got some jobs open on the website now. We'll be hiring some nurses. We'll be hiring a few more peer support specialists for our residential program. And, you know, we got a lot of great things coming in the community. We've got dive trips coming up. We've got, you know, all sorts of recreational things coming up. And if your organization needs a place to meet, we've got a great meeting room. We can hold about 30. Got a world-class kitchen, 24-year food service warrant officer.
There you go. All right.
Serving chow and going to have the best
got
lunch.
Got your own chow hall with you. You all right? You
know, that's right.
You got a chow hall, we okay.
So vetrecover.org is the website. And, again, the phone number 251-405-3677. And you can call 24 hours a day, and a veteran will answer the phone.
Amen. Appreciate you. Appreciate what you're doing. And Dr. Oley, we appreciate you being on board with us tonight. Looking forward to having you back again.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. And it brings us to close a nice edition of the Scuttlebutt Radio Program, Voice of Veterans for Veterans. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have enjoyed the show. And remember, hero is not a four-letter word. Hoorah!